You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Saturday, April the 6th. I'm your host, Michael Leva, flying solo today. And we got some news in the world of the Miami Dolphins to talk about. They signed a new defensive tackle in Tierre Tart. We're going to talk about him and give you a little bit of background info on the recent defensive tackle they signed. And also, there's a new report with an update on Miami's interest in the wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. We will talk about that, and I'll share my thoughts on the new report. But before we get to any of that, as always, a big shout-out to everyone listening at FinHeaven.com. Everyone go to FinHeaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout-out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, run by the great and talented Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are joined up, liked, and subscribed, signed up to the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. Also, wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, Podchaser, Audible, we're on all the podcasting platforms. Wherever you're listening right now, hit that subscribe button. No, really, hit that subscribe button. You don't want to miss an episode. We have shows, you know, most days of the week. And as we get closer to the draft, it'll probably be every day of the week. Whenever the Dolphins sign a new player, we are there to give you the background info on them. And whenever there's news or rumors out there concerning the Dolphins, we jump on with the show. You don't want to miss an episode of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. And for those of you who might not have heard, the Jalen Waddle Youth Football Camp is the place to be this summer. Join the Miami Dolphins star on June 22nd in Fort Lauderdale for skill-building fun and memories that will last a lifetime. Visit JalenWaddleCamp.com and register while spots are still available. Each camper will receive a limited edition t-shirt, a souvenir autograph, and a team photo with Jalen. Check out JalenWaddleCamp.com to learn more. That's JalenWaddleCamp.com. See you on the field. This is open to boys and girls, grades 1 through 8. All right, like I said, the Dolphins signed defensive tackle Tierre Tart. Tart just turned 27 years old in February and has played for the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans since entering the league after going undrafted in 2020. He actually played college football for three schools. Two of the schools were very, very small. But his final school was Florida International, where he was in 2018 and 2019. Since entering the NFL, he's played in 47 games, started 36, has 2.5 career sacks, one of which was last year. In 2022, he started 16 games for the Titans. He had one interception, 1.5 sacks, with 34 tackles. Last season, 2023, he played for both the Titans and Houston, started 9 games, had 21 tackles and 1 sack. And out of all the guys they've signed this offseason, between Neville Gallimore, Jonathan Harris, Benito Jones, Davion Nixon, that whole group, Tart has the most experience, which isn't saying a ton, but he's got the most experience, the most upside, and is probably, I would say, the best player. Now, is he someone who's going to step in for Christian Wilkins? No. Could he step in for Raekwon? Yeah, absolutely. I think this is someone who's, on that level, I think for sure. But there are a few red flags here. And there's a reason why he was on the open market still in early April. And a couple of those red flags are, in 2020, Tart was suspended for one game when he stepped on a Cleveland Browns player in the middle of the game, got in a sportsmanlike penalty, called against him, and the league then suspended him for, you can't be stepping on players intentionally. But the bigger issue was at the end of last year, December of 2023, when the Tennessee Titans released Tart and claimed that they had to cut him because he had a poor attitude and he wasn't playing with good effort. Tart then fired back and said, "That's not why they cut me. I asked them to cut me." It's a little he said, she said deal. But, you know, either way, it's not a great situation. No player asks to be cut, and for a positive reason, he's claiming it was over contract. And the Titans have their story with Mike Vrabel, who I guess this was kind of an ongoing thing last year for people who follow the Titans closely behind the scenes, that Mike Vrabel was not happy with Tart, and that's why they cut him. He just wasn't playing with good effort, and there were some issues with his attitude too every day. So now in Miami, but that's why he was still out there, and that's why, you know, I know he visited with Cincinnati probably a month ago, I want to say, probably right when free agency started, but they decided not to sign him. I don't know if he visited with any other teams. But now in Miami, as I said, he will compete with the laundry list of names that Chris Greer has brought in this year to fill the voids of losing two starters in Christian Wilkins and Raekwon Davis. And I had someone on social media this past week saying, "Why do you keep mentioning Raekwon Davis? Raekwon Davis wasn't very good. It's an easy spot to fill." Okay. But until yesterday, they really didn't fill that spot. And it's like, if you just look at stats and the stat sheet, I can understand someone saying, "Yeah, Raekwon Davis, easy spot to fill, not a huge loss." But he was a starter, and he was a starter for multiple years. And not everything shows up on a stat sheet. Now, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you Raekwon Davis was some, like, unbelievable lineman who it was just, you know, everything he did was just so nuanced, it didn't show up on a stat sheet. That's the stuff that the lunatics over at PFF try to sell you, that kind of spin. I'm not going to do that. But Miami, in a 3-4, had Zach Seeler, Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis, and they lost two of the three starters. So, and what they've signed, you know, to replace them, as I've been saying for multiple weeks, are they signed five career backups. And I didn't think that was going to work. I will say with Tart, you know, as of today, April 6th, you can probably pencil him in as a starter as long as none of the issues that he had with the Titans at the end of last year rear their ugly head. Because you look at some of the other names, and they really are career backups. Neville Gallimore, 52 total games, only has started 14 of those 52. The last time he started a game was 2022. He hasn't started more than one game in a season since 2021. He's a backup player. Jonathan Harris, who they signed away from the Broncos, who's a free agent. He's only played in 33 total games. He's only started 9 of those 33. He's only played in more than 8 games in a season once, which was last year, where he played in all 17 and he started 5. And mind you, he was part of the defense that Miami scored 70 on. Isaiah Mack, 25 games total in his life, 1 start. He didn't play at all in 2023. And he played in only 2 games in 2022 and only 2 games in 2021. Again, young guy, 0 experience, a career backup there with Isaiah Mack. Deshaun Hand, who was with Miami last year, but they decided to re-sign him. He has only played in 47 games total, started 11 of them, hasn't started a game since 2020. He has 1 sack since 2018, and he hasn't had more than 1 tackle for loss in a season since 2018. You've got to go back 5 years for this guy to have more than 1 tackle for a loss in an entire season. Not just an entire season. Benito Jones has played in 40 games, 15 starts total. He didn't start a game in his career until last year, 2013. He has 17 starts total. He didn't start a game until just last year where he did start all 17 with Lions. But the Lions just let him walk, and it's not like he signed for huge money with Miami, because we know Miami's not signing anyone for huge money because they're trying to protect the compensatory picks. So it just lets you kind of know what they think of him there and Benito Jones. And then Davion Nixon, 14 games total, no starts, played in 0 games last year. Didn't even play last year. And in his 14 games total in his 14 games, he has 0 tackles for a loss. So Again, out of this bunch, Tart, who they just signed on Friday, best of the bunch. And it's probably not even close. He's someone who you can probably pencil in to replace Raekwon, I would say, as the Dolphins still look for someone here to replace Christian Wilkins on the defensive line. I don't think they can do it by like a rotation or a committee. This is not a pitching staff. This is not the running back position. You know, in some sports, in some positions, you can get away with that. Defensive line, I do think you need a dude, at least one, probably two. And these guys, for like that second string, that's what they've been their whole life, that's fine. But I think they need a little bit more, or they need someone who, you know, has a higher ceiling, whether they sign someone as a free agent, maybe they, you know, again, when it comes to the draft, the Dolphins, you know, have three significant needs. A left tackle of the future. They need a number three wide receiver, which I'll talk about next. But right now, as I look at this roster, I do not know how at pick 21, if they stay at pick 21, if a Johnny Newton or if a Byron Murphy's there, how they pass on either one of those young men to step into that Christian Wilkins role. They will not be Christian Wilkins in year one. We totally understand that. But they have a high enough ceiling, and they are good enough to be someone who, you know, midway through the season could be a really, really, really good player, and hopefully heading into year two, the drop, you know, you start to see the promise of a big-time player there. I just think the front three, especially the front three, but really the front seven on defense. Maybe they go edge rusher. That's cool, too. That'd be fine. But something on defense on the front line to, you know, help them is because I think that's the weakest part of the team. And I know some of you are going to be screaming about the offensive line. I get it. But they brought back a lot of offensive linemen. And if guys like Wynn can stay healthy, which is asking a lot because he never has, and if someone like Armstead can give you a few more, can play a few more games than he did last year, which is always asking a lot for him to stay healthy, it's like you can make a case. They got the guys. They just need a little bit of luck on their side. On defense, they don't got the guys. I mean, Nixon, 14 games total, no starts, played zero games last year. He ain't a guy. You know, Hand, 47 games total, 11 starts. Hasn't started a game since 2019. He's got one sack since 2018. He's not a guy. Isaiah Mack, 25 games total, didn't play a game last year. He's not a guy. Jonathan Harris, only 33 games ever, 9 total starts. Hasn't played in more than 8 games in a season, just once in his whole life, which happened to be last year. He's not a guy. So they don't even have, on the offensive line, you can make a case. They got guys. They just need like everything to line up, right? The stars to align so guys don't get hurt and guys, you know, play great. On defense, they don't got the guys. So I like the Tart signing. He is a little bit of a head case, but it is what it is. And, yeah, this is probably the best guy they've signed on the defensive line this offseason. So kudos to them for getting him. And I'm guessing, look, I know for a fact they did not pay big money there. They haven't spent big money on anyone this offseason. They ain't going to start on April 5th with Tart. So with Tier Tart. So kudos to Chris Gear for making that signing there. Can't knock it in any way. Other big news story from Friday was Jeremy Fowler, the very respected reporter from ESPN, and I think it was NFL Live, said that the Miami Dolphins are trying pretty hard, those are his words, pretty hard to land Odell Beckham Jr. And from what he's heard, they may have offered him a second contract offer already. So we know Mike McDaniel confirmed at the owners' meeting, Dolphins met with Odell Beckham a couple weeks ago, gave him a contract offer, they're waiting to hear back. Jeremy Fowler saying they want Odell Beckham so bad that he's hearing they might have already offered him a second contract offer, which would only be for more money, because they want to land Odell Beckham Jr. And I know this is a topic that divides Dolphins fans. As soon as I put up the video, as soon as I put up the link to this story on social media, the instant reaction from fans of the Dolphins came fast and furious, and it was split down the middle. Some fans love this. They want Odell. They think he's a big help. Other fans still cannot wrap their head around why the Dolphins would even pay a wide receiver anything more than $2.10. And why do they want this guy who's a, you know, he's a cancer, he's old, he's no good. Like, there's two distinct sets of Miami Dolphins fans when it comes to Odell Beckham Jr. And I feel like this is a broken record. I've said it on a few shows this offseason. I'm going to say it again. for those who do not understand why wide receiver is such a big need for the Dolphins. Now, the Odell Beckham part, look, I'm going to say this. Odell Beckham is not the Odell Beckham from 10 years ago. But you're not paying him like the Odell Beckham of 10 years ago. He is his market is that of a third wide receiver. Or a fringe starter. But, I mean, he can still play. And for the folks who say, you know, he's a locker room cancer, he's a malcontent. Was he with the Ravens last year? No. Was he with the Rams when they won a Super Bowl? No. Yes, in Cleveland and the Giants, he was a bit of a head case. That was a very long time ago, and people change. That's all. The last two stops he had were not. He was fine. But let's get into this. Now, here's why wide receiver is one of the three biggest needs on this roster. Is it bigger than offensive line? Maybe, probably not. I don't know. Is it bigger than defensive line? Definitely no. But it's one of the top three needs. And it's very simple to see why this wide receiver position is a weak spot for the Dolphins. And with all due respect, and I mean that with all due respect to River Craycraft, Braxton Berrios, and Eric Izokama, the Miami Dolphins, as of today, April 6th, only have two wide receivers that you trust on this roster. And that, you know, and again, as I've stated, when Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle either miss games or play injured at less than 100%, as we saw at the end of last year, the offense stops. It doesn't work. It's not productive. You want proof? When did Tyreek Hill get hurt? Versus the Titans. Missed a good chunk of the game. Tried to rough it at the end of the game. Clearly less than 100%. Do you know versus the Tennessee Titans, who were a bad team last year, the Miami Dolphins scored three touchdowns in that game. One was a Zach Sealer defensive touchdown. One was a gift touchdown on a muffed punt. And one was a gift touchdown on the Henry fumble inside their own red zone. They had two offensive touchdown drives in the game. One was 12 yards. One was 8 yards. The minute Hill went down, that offense couldn't put a touchdown drive together to save its life. It couldn't pick up a first down in the fourth quarter to ice the game. Then it couldn't pick up a first down even later in the fourth quarter just to get in the field goal range. The offense couldn't move without Hill. Okay, then they played the Cowboys. Hill, again, less than 100%. Waddle gets banged up in like the first quarter of that game. Plays, but less than 100%. Versus the Cowboys at home, they scored one offensive touchdown. Okay, they kicked a bunch of long field goals, three of them over 50 yards, but they could only muster up one offensive touchdown drive. Then, versus the Ravens at the end of the year, Miami gets blown out. They had two offensive touchdown drives the entire game. One of which was in garbage time in the fourth quarter when they're down by like 50 zillion points. So I don't even count that one. They mustered one touchdown drive versus the Ravens. Then they played the Bills at home. Biggest game of the year. AFC East on the line. Win. You win the East. You get a home playoff game. Everything on the line. They mustered two touchdown drives at home in the biggest game of the year, which is actually probably their best offensive performance in the last month of the season. Then they go to the playoffs against Kansas City. You could tell me it's cold. It was cold for Pat Mahomes, too. They had one touchdown drive the entire game. And what happened that last month of the year from Tennessee on? Tyreek Hill played less than 100%. Jaylen Waddle was limping around playing less than 100%. And when they're both less than 100%, it's awful. When even one of them is less than 100%, it's ugly. And that's why wide receivers are need. Because when those two were not at the top of their game, River Craycraft couldn't step up. Chase Claypool couldn't step up. Robbie Anderson couldn't step up. Braxton Berrios could not step up. None of them could get separation. None of them could make a play. None of them could get open for Tua. So that's why wide receivers are in need. Because what happens week two if Tyreek Hill turns an ankle and from week two to week five, he's out there, either he has to miss a game or two or has to hobble around and play at like 80%. Guess what? You're not going to win. The offense isn't going to move the ball enough for you to win. And after seeing this at the end of last year, you now know we need to get more firepower in offense. We cannot be Tyreek Hill centric where we force feed him the ball in a meaningless chase for 2,000 yards. We cannot worry about if Jaylen Waddle takes a hit, if he gets up a little slow, that we're screwed. They need more help at wide receiver. And whether it's Odell Beckham or not, that's a different conversation. But the need at wide receiver is real. It is very, very real. So you either pay Odell Beckham Jr., you pay Tyler Boyd, or you go to round one of the draft and you take a wide receiver there. Or you go to round two of the draft and you take a wide receiver there. And I know for some fans, the thought that they would take a wide receiver in round one when your offensive line is a bunch of like Driscoll's, Lester Cotton's, Robert Jones's of the world with Liam Eichenberg is just, they can't wrap their head around it. But I will tell you again, Chris Greer said, you are more worried about this offensive line than we are. I still think he means it today in April 2024. And it would not shock me if he does go wide receiver in round one. And it really wouldn't shock me if he goes wide receiver in round two. But to think Miami cannot sign an Odell Beckham or not sign a Tyler Boyd or not sign, you know, any veteran receiver and just wait till like round five on just to sign any old wide receiver is naive and short-sighted, and the Dolphins will fail in 2024 if that's the case. This offense Mike McDaniel has created is based on the wide receiver. You know, you can add a Jonnu Smith a tight end, and he'll make plays. I'm not saying he's not. And we'll see the tight end slightly more involved than we have in years past. He ain't good. He cannot fill in for a wide receiver, though. You know, and they haven't signed anybody else a wide receiver who gives you faith that they can step up in a larger role and actually do something. So we'll see. Again, it sounds like they really want Odell Beckham, you know, more so even than Tyler Boyd. I think part of the reason is Odell Beckham's a little bit older, going to be a little bit cheaper. And for what the Dolphins need is a third wide receiver. You kind of, someone who's got a lot of experience like him, I think makes a lot of sense. So, and I think Tyler Boyd is just, because he's younger and he has been more productive in recent years, he's going to want more money. And that's probably more money than A, Miami's willing to pay, and B, more than they probably have, at least as of today. So I think Odell Beckham is kind of like the perfect marriage. Again, you know, they just signed T.R. Tate, and people are going nuts. T.R. Tate's been more of a malcontent the past 24 months than Odell Beckham has. You know, you can't cry that Odell Beckham's a locker room cancer, and then you're sitting here supporting Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's like, folks, you got to have a little consistency on this stuff. But I would not worry about that stuff. Now, there are other names out there at wide receiver who could be signed. They haven't been linked to Miami yet, but as we know, as we get past the draft, as we get, you know, post June 1st when that money frees up, they're going to have a little bit more flexibility. And plus, some of these guys, if they sign them, will not go against the compensatory pick, which Jeremy Fowler did say too. Tyler Boyd, his contract expired. If Miami signs him and pays him, it goes against the compensatory pick formula, at least until the first or second week of May. Odell Beckham, that's not the case. So that's also a big factor here. But some of the other names that are out there, the one I like the most, even more than Odell Beckham, is DJ Shark. I like him a lot, but I think that would go against the compensatory pick formula, so you got to be careful there. I believe. I don't know for sure. I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong. So he's one name I think would be a great number three wide receiver, kind of fit in with what Miami does. Some of the other names that are out there, like a Hunter Renfrow and Allen Robinson, are Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. I don't think they're any better than what we had last year with the Robbie Andersons, Chosen Anderson, whatever his name is, or like Chase Claypools of the world. Those guys, I mean, they're not, I mean, someone like an Allen Robinson at one point was a great NFL wide receiver. I think that time is long gone. Marquez Valdez-Scantling had a lot of issues just catching the ball last year. Miami doesn't need that right now. And Hunter Renfrow, I think he's like on par with what Miami has in-house. I don't think he's like any better than some of the depth guys they got. He's not. If he's your number three wide receiver, you're still in trouble. Let me put you, if Hunter Renfrow is your number three wide receiver, you still got the same issues that you got today. So we'll see what they do. But folks, if you're listening going, I don't know why they think wide receivers need. It is a need. It's an offensive league. You have to score points to win. Period. And if you want any chance of coming out of the AFC, any chance of dethroning the Kansas City Chiefs? And while you might say, well, that's probably not going to happen with Pat Mahomes there, you at least have to try. And if you're going to try, you better at least have in the back of your mind, if we're going to beat the Chiefs, we probably got to outscore them. We probably got to beat them in a shootout. So I better have more than just two wide receivers that I can trust, because in a big spot, I'm going to need three, probably four. I mean, we're talking about wide receiver three. They probably need another one after that, a fourth. Because I think Braxton Berrios at this point is just a return guy. Eric Uzomah, you're hoping for the best. That was a nasty neck injury. Neck injuries can be tricky. You don't even know if he'll be the same guy when we get to like OTAs and training camp this year. And then when they put on the pads and the hitting starts, you hope. Look, he's a great kid. And I like the size he brings and the skill set. But we don't know. And that's the thing, you don't know. And if you want the Dolphins to go past where they have been in recent years, you know, win more games, win a playoff games, maybe win the AFC East. You can't do it with the same bunch, because they've shown that's they're not capable of that. You got to try to improve some of these positions, and adding a third weapon at wide receiver is so much a part of that, it's not even funny. Yes, a good like left guard or right guard right now would be awesome. And maybe get one of those guys who a year from now can be your left tackle of the future to replace Armstead. I get it. And if that's where they go in round one, I'm on board. I get it. They have to replace Wilkins and get someone there who has, you know, the potential upside to be the next Christian Wilkins, essentially. Someone you take in round one that, you know, starts off his NFL journey as a productive player, as a rookie, who grows into, you know, a building block piece a couple of years from now. Someone that you don't want to lose. I get that as well. But I also get how wide receivers are needed, especially in this league where it's all about offense all the time. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. But, yeah, so the Odell Beckham, it sounds like Miami might have already sent him a second contract offer. I just hope they're not bidding against themselves, that, you know, we're the only team talking Odell Beckham, and just because he didn't sign the first offer, we're just going to raise it when no other team is sending him an offer. We don't know. Maybe other teams are sending him an offer quietly. We don't know. We know the Chiefs, they got a need a wide receiver. The Bills now have a big, big need a wide receiver. So Odell Beckham's market might be going up, and that's probably why Miami maybe upped their offer a little, to be like, okay, now we got some other teams here who are players involved, and we have to raise our offer if we want to sign him. But from the Jerry Fowler report of ESPN on Friday, sounds like that's who the Dolphins have honed in on. You know, there was a Tyler Board thing, but he was linked to like five or six teams. Miami just happened to be one of them. It sounds like Odell Beckham is really where the Dolphins are honing in, because Jeremy Fowler's not going to say they're trying pretty hard to land him unless he's heard something. So that's all for today's show. Thank you all for listening. I really do appreciate each and every one of our listeners who tune into any of our podcasts here on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I know out there nowadays in 2024, there are so many podcasts on all topics, whether it's movies, news, politics, music, TV shows, comedians, sports, whatever. And I just want to thank you guys, any listener who takes a few minutes out of their day to join us, have some laughs, talk some Dolphins, you know, share your thoughts with us on the Miami Dolphins. We really do appreciate. So thank you so much for everyone who tunes into the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. Make sure, again, wherever you listen, I don't care what platform, subscribe. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a show. You really don't want to miss an episode. And visit the website DolphinsTalk.com. We got a bunch of new articles up. We got all the mock drafts from all the, you know, from the reputable sites, from the reputable people. Again, we know they're mock drafts. It's not an exact science, but it does give you an idea what some people who don't follow the Dolphins every day think, and to get inside the mind of an outsider. There was recently an NFL.com, Chad Reuter, who's been doing the NFL draft for like 100 years. He put out a 5-round mock draft, and in it, he has Miami trading down 10 spots in round one to pick 31 with San Francisco, but they pick up a pick in round 3 and 4, which would give Miami picks, and then in rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So, again, I'm not in love with the guys he had Miami selecting in the first 5 rounds, but just the theory, or then you just to get an idea, well, if they trade down from 21 to 31, how this draft changes drastically, because now you got a full slate of draft picks, and the first 55 picks, maybe you don't have them picking the exact same guy. He had them picking at 21 and at pick 55. But it gives you an idea of who else might be on the board then. And it's so check that out. It's up at the website, dolphinstalk.com. It's up on my social media channels, at Dolphins Talk, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. So check that out. And that's it. So everyone have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you again after a while. And folks, don't forget, we still must put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.